Welcome to the Fail Forward podcast, where we have the pleasure of chatting with Caroline Labouchere, a truly multifaceted individual who wears multiple hats as a lifestyle, travel, and fashion blogger, as well as, very importantly, a women's health, family, and marriage coach for many people all around the world. In this heartfelt conversation, we delve into Caroline's personal journey, exploring the dynamics of her marriage and the deep love she holds for her children. Drawing from her own experiences and those of the many women and other people she has helped throughout her life, Caroline shares wisdom and insights on maintaining a healthy and fulfilling family life. On a more personal note, this conversation allowed me to share aspects of my own life and have Caroline truly listen, understand, and provide solutions. Thank you, Caroline. Welcome to the Fail Forward podcast, where Dan and Adnan peel back the onion on our guest stories and on each other, all in an effort to change the narrative of failure. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Fail Forward pod with Adnan and Dan. Dan is out, so it's Adnan. And I have the honor of spending some time today with Caroline Labouchere. How's it going, Caroline?
You said that beautifully.
Yeah?
Yeah, you did. great, good. I'm sorry not to meet Dan.
No worries. He's here in spirit and he is super, super excited for this recording as well.
Good. Well, it's lovely to see you again. How long have we known each other?
I would say, in passing, at least a decade.
Wow. Makes me feel very old. Yes, because you were a university student.
Correct, yeah. And I think the first time we got to chat and meet was at the gym when I started my own gym journey, fitness journey 10 years ago.
Right, at Run Club.
At the Run Club, correct, yeah. And I remember David being there on a bike and you...
Yes,
completely
whistling at us, shouting at us.
Oh, that was a good time.
It was a good time.
Well, it's beautiful to kind of see how both of us have flourished and yes. Come back together 10 years later.
Have.
Yes. So, Caroline, you are leading in a variety of spaces in fashion, in health and wellness, in travel, and in a variety of other things I probably forgot to mention. The core concept behind a lot of the things you do and the things you say and believe in, and I think these are two things that I noticed. One is unleash your potential, and the second thing is take charge of your life or yourself. I've been fascinated by the mental picture that people have as they go through building their own brand and themselves, and generally the spirit of entrepreneurship. It kind of almost flows from an uninformed optimism to an uninformed pessimism, and ultimately to some form of informed positive outlook of what they're doing. I'm curious to understand what the word potential has meant for you and how it's changed over time.
I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's what keeps me excited. Because I have no idea what email I'm going to get, what opportunity I'm going to get. No idea. And I'm open to everything. Mm-hmm. And that is what is exciting, knowing that there is so much out there to do, people to meet, and I have no idea. I don't have anything set, no agenda. Mm-hmm. It's just all opening up in front of me.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, that's great. Now, not everyone gets the same amount, maybe more, maybe less, of opportunities on a given day. It can't all just be entirely luck. I'm curious, where does luck fall into it? Where does preparedness fall into it? What gets you to a point where opportunity comes at your door on a given day?
I think in the beginning it was saying yes to things that make you feel uncomfortable. It's putting yourself out there. And for example, when I was married to David, but I'm still after 32 years.
Don't let that slip up happen.
32 years in August. But I used to always want to be with him, whatever I did. I would never go out in the evening by myself. I rarely did anything by myself. I certainly wouldn't travel by myself. And learning that I am able, as long as he packs for me, because he's very good at packing and I'm very bad at packing, I can go anywhere. But it takes a leap of faith in yourself. to say, I can do this, but it is far easier to stay at home and say, but I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's believing in yourself and also wanting more from life,
mm-hmm.
More than sitting at home and waiting for an opportunity. It's being on the internet. It's going to functions that you don't necessarily know anyone at and being in that room where you're feeling alone, but actually going up to people and introducing yourself and shoulders back, I can do this.
Yeah.
You've got to, there are two choices, aren't there? Get out there and scare yourself and do it, or stay at home and don't.
Do you have a voice in your head that helps you, you know, take those risky things? Do you tell yourself?
David. David is the voice in my head. Yeah. He says, do it, babe. Go on, you can do it.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he has a lot of confidence in me, more than I do in myself, I think.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. Oh, there we go, luck again.
Right? There's so much that we attribute, or ultimately we should attribute to luck. But my philosophy in certain areas of my life is that luck follows and touches everybody, but it is up to you to be prepared, ready, and willing to say yes when the opportunity comes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You have to say yes,
mm-hmm.
and put yourself in those awkward moments, the uncomfortable situations. I have been to events where I've stood there and tried to make conversation with people, and it just hasn't worked out, and I've gone home. But
it's,
you know, you got to keep doing it again.
Mm-hmm. It's more like statistics, right? If X percentage of a large number is successful, you'll get more opportunity.
Yeah. But and also, you were seen there. Whether you made conversation with people or made connection, you were still seen.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you had your shoulders back and you went in there, like a going to Carrefour.
Yeah.
I might have gray hair and I might be 58, but...
Yeah. I still go super confident at Carrefour, and I still don't know what I'm doing there, honestly. So kudos to you for that. But it's a fascinating concept we're already talking about. But I want to actually go back to the time that you almost spent in a shadow of, let's say, your husband, right? All the different travels and things you were on. Did that length of time being in someone's shadow, did that create certain habits and certain things that were hard to unchain yourself from?
Absolutely. It's easier to be in somebody's shadow. It's easier to follow than mm-hmm. to lead. And that's the way that I was brought up. Although I'm a Leo, so I should be a leader. I also, being in the military, it's not my job to lead. David mm-hmm. It was his job. I married him and he already had that job. So it wasn't for me to change anything. I was there to do the job as wife of. So that was my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I wasn't that good at it. I think I'd probably be better at it now because I am much more confident now mm-hmm. and much braver now than I was, because you have to stand up and talk in front of the wives and you have to organize events for them and things. I took them pole dancing. Thought that would be a fun thing to do as the colonel's wife. But I guess that was the edge that I had, but still didn't follow through. It was sort of a reaching out of my using my own identity, but then going back into the shadow. So I guess maybe, as I say, that the flame has been lit inside me. Mm-hmm. So I think it was always, everybody has a flame inside them or something smoldering.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it ignites, and that's the person that you would have been if you were not the follower or the groomed person all the way through life.
Yeah. Has it been a challenge, or like what has the dynamic been having you start to lead your own life, and, you know, even for David, as being more, if in certain moments, a supporter and a championer of you versus just purely the leader of the family or of the unit?
I think it's pressure off him, because I'm not needing, I'm not as needy as I was. So I think it's much, life is easier for him as long as I've cooked supper for him before I go out. As long as he's got something to eat, he's happy.
Has he got better on timing, though, in the evening? Has he come back on time? Is the food left cold?
He rarely comes back on time and rarely tells me what time he's going to be home. It depends how well he's exercising, where he's exercising, who he's exercising with. So, no, he doesn't. And I very often want to send him a message saying dinner is in the dog, but why break the habit of a lifetime? So he is.
Yeah. We discussed this on the call as well earlier. I'd love to understand, what are the common patterns you see across some of the women you speak with and the challenges they're facing? And feel free to be as specific as, you know, you're willing to share.
Not knowing what their passion is, because I think that very often women are pushed down so much. Not in any aggressive way, not in an abusive way, just because they're the mother of, they're putting everyone first, so they don't come anywhere near the top. They're below, holding everybody up. So it's knowing that you are as important as they are. And that's relearning everything that's ever been, that you have learned to be by the way people treat you. For example, how many mothers, and everyone's going to say, oh, me, but how many mothers get a birthday cake? So many women don't get a birthday cake. And I'm thinking, what are you teaching your kids? Your birthday doesn't matter? Because who's going to buy the birthday cake for the mum?
The mum usually buys the birthday cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unless I buy my own birthday cake, no one else is going to buy it for me.
Yeah.
So what is that teaching your kids? David, we were living in India. Max was 6 months old. We had a cook. We had people living in the house looking after us, which was in the best, one of the best years of our lives. I didn't get a birthday cake. See, David, it wasn't up to me to go to the cook and say, please, can I have a birthday cake? David, my birthday is not a surprise. My birthday is the same date every year.
Yeah. And it's less about the cake. It's more about
the thought.
The thought, the intention. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he has a birthday cake every year. Do you have a birthday cake every year?
Yeah.
Who gets it?
Mom or a friend or something. Yeah. Yeah. Someone who actively
thinks about it
and wants to show me that, hey, today you're number one, so to speak.
Yes. But not many mummies, wives are number one. But we have to look after ourselves. That's the most important thing. And make sure that we are teaching our children and also teaching our husbands to a certain extent that we are our own identity.
Yeah.
That we are people.
Yeah. I want to share something kind of that I also see as a challenge within my own culture in relation to that. Like, as I start spending time with a woman in my life that I see as someone I want to potentially marry, this whole interesting dynamic comes about between the way that past generations think and the way the future generations think about what marriage means. And there are definitely set roles in society of where what women should be in a more traditional marriage, in a traditional culture. And while that is not necessarily bad for the unit overall, it may not be ideally what the woman in the relationship wants.
But does she know what she wants?
That's a very, very fair point. Because if you impose these cultural rules onto a marriage before it even happens, there is no room for the woman to even go through that exploration. Personally, the last 6 to 7 months have been an exploration of who I want to be, what I want to do, what I see my future as. But in many ways, most women are spending their time thinking, all right, who's the person I'm going to marry? And how am I going to take care of the family and kids?
Yes. And then maybe if you have a career, how am I going to keep my career?
Yeah.
And then when I have children, how am I going to keep my career? I want to do this. Then they go through menopause. Then they have anxiety because all of these hormones are going berserk. Can I now continue? Yeah. It's like everything is against you. And unless you have people around you, and I often say that it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a unit of women talking to each other to help each other through these times. Mm-hmm. And 50, 60-year-old women can really help and support younger women. Mm-hmm. So don't put us out to pasture and think that you don't need us. You do, because we've been through that stuff.
Yeah. And
keep asking questions.
Definitely. In speaking to other women who share the same journey that you've been on, and it sounds like a lot of women are going through, I see you both as, you know, a leader and a speaker, but also a network builder. Because a lot of these women, they feel like they're alone.
Exactly. You are so right. They do. They write to me. I get so many DMs. I have a highlight on my Instagram of menopause doctors all around the world. I don't have that many on there. I'm trying to grow it. If somebody messages me and says, I live in Texas, do you know a menopause doctor there? I'll put it out on a story, find a doctor, and I'll add it to that list. Because where do you start? You know, you do feel alone.
Yeah.
And we can all help each other and support each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think also that there's less competitiveness as you get older, because you hopefully are learning or becoming that person.
Mm-hmm.
The grown-up.
Yeah.
Therefore you don't need to compete because you know yourself better.
Yeah. And hopefully, at least the way I see it, as you grow, you kind of develop some sort of unit or base that you come from, be it your family, your friend group, your career, that makes you not want to try to be like someone else, because you have this thing that's now uniquely yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true. But we're still learning.
We're still learning. Yeah.
I think never stops.
I think as I grow older and older, you almost become much more aware of the things you don't know. And that leads you to become much, much more humble.
You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be an expert in everything.
Yeah.
That learning that also. You find the people who are expert.
Mm-hmm.
And they can help you. And you all grow together.
Who are some of the people that have helped you outside of, the core family unit?
The doctors that I meet.
Yeah.
I work with King's College Hospital and meet their doctors when they come in, many from England, and talk to them about issues that women go through, men as well. I take David along and he mm-hmm. gets his health check, and getting an angiogram, for example, knowing that women, when they have a heart attack, they might have a headache or a backache. They wouldn't have that, you know, when a person grabs their left arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, my God, they're going to have a heart attack. Women don't do that. Women don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I love talking to doctors and learning a lot. I'm not an expert in any field, but I know an expert.
Yeah. Yeah, you do a really great job of finding people and allowing them to share their story.
And people message me and say, yeah. Oh, you've got to meet this person. So I'll go on to Instagram and send them a message and say, oh, my gosh, you are amazing. I need to speak to you. You need to spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Have you ever had criticism for the work you're doing? Has that ever come up?
Only from people who don't know me and don't necessarily follow me. So there'll be somebody saying, oh, you wear too much makeup. Well, if you did follow me, you would see that on a daily basis, I don't wear makeup. Yes, yeah. In that picture, I was wearing too much makeup because I had been working with a makeup artist. So it's generally people who don't know me.
Yeah.
And if you give me a chance, I'll show you the real me.
Yeah.
But I'm so forgetful that I can't pretend to be anything else. That's what I say also about using a filter. I don't use a filter because I would forget what filter I used last night. So, no filters.
Yeah. No, and I think to be never criticized means you're just trying to be liked and wanted by everybody, right?
You can't be liked by everybody. I mean, I don't like everybody.
It's a fair point.
So, you know, you do just spend the time with the people that you like and they like you, because they're the people who will help keep you up.
Yeah. Tell me about what's next, the next 1-2 years. Not a plan, but just...
I don't have any plans. Staying
in Dubai. You do have a vision board, right?
I do have a vision board, yes. We would like to own a place in London.
Uh-huh.
That is on the vision board. So that is a goal that hopefully... We wanted to buy in London during COVID, but it just was insanely expensive. So we ended up buying here after living here for 12 years. So mm-hmm. we bought a house here last year. And the sense of peace, the sense of security. We have been married, as I said, for 32 years in August, and we have never owned our own home.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty weird.
We are sad to see you leave ranches, though, but super, super happy to see you.
Do you know, Mimi had washmen to her house the other day,
uh-huh.
and they picked up her bags, and she said, "Do I recognize you?" And he said, "Yes, I was your security guard in Arabian Ranches."
No.
Yeah.
Dubai is such a small world.
It is. It is. But yeah. I quite like that.
Yeah.
In fact, I love Dubai. I love it probably now more than I have. And the more travel I do,
mm-hmm.
I love coming home and my dogs are here.
Yeah.
Yeah, my own home. Love it.
I'm not actually sure what question I want to ask you, but I'm just personally fascinated about your take on what makes Dubai unique and special to you in terms of like the people, maybe versus London and all the other places also you spend time at.
The people, I couldn't tell you what nationality my friends are. I think that is something really big that's here. If you said, where do most of your friends come from? There is no answer to that.
Yeah.
A, I don't know where most of them come from. But they're from everywhere around the world. And we're all in the same boat here.
Yeah.
Going through the same issues. So I think that's probably the best thing,
yeah.
that we are a melting pot. Mm-hmm. What else? I just love how forward-thinking that, especially during COVID, the country was looked after
mm-hmm.
more than the people, and it thrived, and it is mm-hmm. thriving, whereas the countries that were looking after their people and not the country, are in trouble.
Yeah.
So I think everything that's done here is just done the right way.
Yeah. And there's this beautiful thing, at least for me, coming into Dubai after, 9 years back, is there's a conversation about mental health going on. And that was something that, you know, uninformed me in the past would have never expected Dubai to have.
Right. Personal conversations.
Personal conversations, yes. The right way to put
yes,
it, right?
You're right.
Conversations about the mind, about personal struggles, because it's a place that, for better or for worse, generally likes to put out a positive, a beautiful, and a prosperous image of itself.
You're absolutely
to the world.
Right. Yes. Yeah. When I got here mm-hmm. 12 years ago, I took myself off my happy pills. I call them happy pills. And I thought, this is it. We're living in a sunny country. David was in the military here. We had a 5-bedroom house. We had a swimming pool. Why would I need happy pills? And I cried. I just kept crying. Couldn't stop crying. And I went to the doctor and I got back on the pills. And I've been on them ever since. Because I need them.
Yeah.
And they work. But it is a conversation that really, you're so right, now it is really being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And for a country that always wants to be positive, it is good that it's noticing.
Yeah. And I think it will be a draw for people to come here. Because I don't know if you've felt this, but my conversations with people all around the world about Dubai is, you know, I love the place and I'd love to be a part of it, but at times it feels fake. And the more,
yeah,
and the more
people say that, but it isn't fake. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is, and it's blooming good at being what it is.
That's fair.
It isn't. It knows how to move a 7-lane highway overnight. You know, what other country would do that? You're driving along thinking, hang on a second, we weren't here yesterday. And you realize that they moved Sheikh Zayed Road. Do you remember when they did? Were you here when they did?
The one in the center, right, when they were bringing the creek, the waterway through, yeah.
And they literally moved 7 lanes over. It would take, how many years would it take in the other country to do that?
Yeah, it's beautiful to see. I mean, on the other side of, you know, playing devil's advocate on it, it's like the fact that things actually get done here.
Yes.
And coming from the US, 200,000 people who hate each other, or England, yes, have to all agree on something, which rarely happens.
Yes, it doesn't happen. Then a decision's made. It's going to take 4 years to take it, to actually make it happen.
Uh-huh.
Even after the decision has been made, and then it wasn't the right decision, and it's going to take another 4 years to change it. Whereas here, something can be changed tomorrow, today.
Yeah.
Like free parking on a Sunday went from Friday to Sunday, just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, there's a lot of these things I remember in passing because you've spent the last 9 years here and seen everything, whereas a lot of it I'm relearning as I'm back, right?
There is a fake side.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming less, though.
Oh,
actually,
so much so, yeah.
I mean, the fake side from the cosmetic point of view, I think there is less. There's still a lot of cosmetic surgery, but I see less of the same.
Yeah.
Everybody looked the same. And
there are a variety of, I wouldn't even say pockets, but there are segments of society off which what exactly you're talking about is there, but is one of many.
Yes.
And one thing that I love that I've developed in my own mind is, so I initially used to live in Bar Dubai, right by the creek where the Abras and the Old Souk was. And I, when I was young, I yearned to get out of there because it's noisy, it's old, it's dirty. And
different place, it's like a different country.
Exactly. And those words are not necessarily objectively bad words. That's how I felt then. And now living in ranches, I really do love it. But as a runner and as a person that like really enjoys discovering cities, I am always drawn back to that point of the city, which represents it represents an entirely different city and way of doing things.
Yes, the Dubai, the Creek Half Marathon was my favorite half marathon because you would run and you'd smell fish and you'd see all the fishermen and then you'd see the boats and you'd see people doing yoga. I mean, it was the first time I did it, I wasn't concentrating on running at all. I was just looking around. Yeah. I saw a photo shoot up on a balcony going on. I kept seeing the flash and there was a bride standing on a balcony and it is a feast for the eyes, Bar Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. And it's a great running
area. It's great, too. Yeah. And that, I think that's the one of the only races in Dubai that is a run that's made by runners for runners.
And those curbs are big, though.
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah.
They're really big, the curbs. You're running along, thinking, do I really have to lift my leg up that high?
You know, that's actually part of, you know, weeding the people out, actually. Yes. It was funny, last year we organized the timing systems for the race.
Right.
And on the one that I was manning, a woman slipped up and cut her knee. So I totally get where you're coming from. It's just, it's a tough one for sure.
You've got tired legs, so those curves are mean. But it's a great, great race.
Yeah. I want to touch on something that David spoke about at the podcast we did with him and would love to see if we can elaborate on it for the audience, but selfishly a little bit more for me. He talked about how you and him make a deliberate effort to build and grow and maintain your relationship over time. And he mentioned that it's very easy to grow apart when you have the challenges of life, moving and all the work and career related aspect. And then most importantly, raising the kids. What are the different habits, I wouldn't even say strategies, but really things you do that have allowed you to flourish and kind of keep like those just beautiful moments you have both on and off camera together.
Did he mention he was away for a lot of their childhood? Did he mention that?
He seems to just put that off a little bit to the side. I get that.
So having been in the army, he would go off. Mimi was 2 weeks old when he went off for 10 months. So she hardly recognized him when he came back.
Oh, wow.
So he was away a lot when they were little. Then they went to boarding school because we were moving a lot.
I'm so sorry. That shouldn't.
We were moving a lot all over the world, and it wasn't fair to keep moving them because they were making friends and then not wanting to leave them. And I know what that feels like because I did the same. Mm-hmm. I love David very much, and I like him. And I think that is the key, actually liking the person, because love can become a habit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy being in a relationship and just going with it, accepting it the way it is, because it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. And you do grow. So it's easy to grow in different directions, especially when one person has a hobby. You know, David has this sporting thing.
And so hobby would be putting it politely.
Yes. So he goes off for hours, and I've been, I don't know. He just would go away. He goes away for hours. I never see him in the morning. He gets up at 2 or 3 in the morning, especially during the summer. And he's not there when I wake up. And I love it when he is. The one night in maybe 10 days, the one morning in 10 days, and he'll bring me a mug of coffee and just, that's the highlight of my day, having a cup of coffee in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. What is the most important thing? I think it's respecting each other. And I did lose respect for David when he lost his job. And I remember having that feeling of powerlessness. And I married him with a job. And I thought he would always have a job. He was in the military. You don't get fired from the military unless you do something really bad. And we came out here, and all the Brits were fired on that one day, on a Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
And he had just had his contract renewed. But that is something that Dubai is able to do that other countries
aren't
able to do. Literally all fired on the same day because something that happened in London. So there tends to be sometimes a knee-jerk reaction. And they were all fired. And that meant we were homeless. I wanted to go home, just get out of Dodge. And David said, no, we're staying. And he had already booked his flight to go to Hawaii.
For Kona?
Yes, the World Championships. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he should go because I wanted him to be at home looking for a job, not going off to Hawaii when I'm staying in an empty apartment.
Like, are you insane?
I was angry. Yeah. I was disappointed. I was incredibly selfish.
And how many years into the relationship or the marriage was this?
This was here, 5-6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
So we moved out of ranches, and we dog sat for people, carrying our, we sold pretty much everything, but the things that we kept, we would dog sit for people and we'd take them with us. Including our mattress, for God's sake. I don't quite know why we kept our mattress, but we did. But it came in useful when we moved to the empty apartment because we slept on the mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
And Mimi was still with us, so she's sleeping on the sun lounger. Why we kept the sun lounger? The dogs are sleeping in a suitcase. I have one dog in one half, one dog in the other half. And I was angry with life. And I remember thinking that I didn't respect him and that there was no coming back from it.
Yeah. Coming back from respecting him or coming back from the state?
Coming back from disrespect.
Oh, sorry, coming back from disrespect.
If you've lost that in a relationship, I'm thinking, then it must be over.
Yeah.
But thank goodness, I realized that only because of somebody who said to me, you need to start thinking about other people, yourself, but other people.
Yeah.
You need to step up. Because he can't. He is incapable of stepping up right now. It's not his time. It's your time. I thought, how can I do that? I don't have a job. I mean, I had a part-time job working at Jess as a school receptionist, but not a money-making job.
Yeah. Not an entire family unit supported job. Yeah,
exactly. And I never have had that. I wasn't brought up to have a career. And so that was terrifying, and I was thinking I was not able to do that. But the realization that I needed to get to take control of myself and the way I was thinking, and not just, oh, poor me, which was exactly what I was doing. Poor David. You know, how does he feel?
Yeah.
Very slowly, I think it did, it lit some more of those embers inside of me and made me braver and allowed me to start this journey. And I think that's how it all began, yeah. Really. So being right down at the bottom and thinking, I don't like this down here.
Yeah.
We've got to start climbing our way, and we are better together at doing that than doing it by ourselves.
It's interesting how you've spent a lot of time, like you said, certain nights crying and feeling bad for yourself.
Yes.
But if you look at the full spectrum now of happy to sad or best to worst, you were more than likely at some point, yes, on the bottom end of the average, but there wasn't enough motivation to really push you up. But that specific situation with David losing his job and everything getting into a whirlwind was literally you being pressed against the bottom.
Yes.
So in many ways, it sounds like that was necessary.
Yes. I believe it was.
Yeah.
It was. It was retrospectively a good thing. I don't want it to happen again.
Yeah.
It was a good thing for our relationship too, because also relationships can become stale. It's so easy just to exist instead of living.
Yeah.
And we are both living, and we're not in each other's pockets anymore.
Hmm. These are very, like, everything of this is so interesting to me, because as a 28-year-old, hearing a lot of these things gives me the tools, hopefully, that I can use in my relationship to make it
as. You're gonna be such a good husband.
All right, I'm gonna send this podcast to my girlfriend. This is perfect. But then she's also gonna keep me accountable. She's like, remember that thing that Caroline said? You're not doing it.
Well, do you know, very often I will talk to a young man like this, and I'll say, and I already know your answer, and I was seriously impressed. Do you know if your mother has gone through menopause?
Yes.
Yes.
She has.
But how many men, how many of your friends know the answer to that?
Very few. And to be honest.
And are they interested?
No. And to be honest, I also may have not, but given, like, had we not been actively involved in the whole health and treatment of my mom.
Right.
So I'd like to say I'm the mature one, but that may also not be the case.
It's just mature. It's again being interested.
Yeah.
And not just in your mom, but your wife will go through that.
Yeah.
So a young man will say, well, how do I know that my girlfriend... I mean, you can't just turn around to your girlfriend and say, oh, I think you're perimenopausal. I mean, she'd dump you if you say that. But perimenopause can start at 37.
So you said perimenopause.
Perimenopause. This is before the menopause.
Okay.
So it's 10 years before menopause. You can start these symptoms. So we start acting weird. We women start acting weird. But our hormones are doing very odd things.
Yeah.
And it's not many good things. So if you can kind of understand that we do some really horrible, yeah, weird things, sometimes we don't really know what mm-hmm. we're doing.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll come back to normal at some point.
Yeah. The most like tangible advice that I have begrudgingly, and it's taken time for me to also teach this to myself, is I'm a very solution-oriented person. And there was this, I don't know if it was a meme or a video or something someone shared with me, was, he said, are you in the solution-oriented mindset or the emotion-oriented mindset?
Ooh.
And it's, in a funny way, it's like, oh, someone comes up to you and they're, you know, talking about a problem they're facing. And that's the response that was given back to them. And it's interesting because my response to a woman or anyone for that matter coming to me with a problem is, all right, let's figure out a solution.
That's positive.
But not everybody wants a solution right away.
No. Then when you get in the hole with them and feel blah, horrible.
Yeah.
Until they're ready to get out.
Yeah.
And then you can get out with them.
And that's been a time in my relationships in the past where it's like, oh, let's just solve it. It's like, no. I feel closer to you. Yeah, I feel closer to you. I feel like we're connected if you are feeling what I'm feeling first. Yes. And then we can work on the solution together. So it's been a process for me to just listen. And in that process, I start to understand. And I understand slowly but surely an element of the things you're talking about that the woman or the person or the friend is going through.
Yeah, because she's going to say to you, you don't understand. And you're thinking, but I kind of do. And you say, no, but you don't. You don't understand. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be a very good husband.
That means a lot.
I think my son's going to be a good husband too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. Because he listens to some of my podcasts, my Insta lives. Mm-hmm. So he knows all about menopause. Crazy women.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. How are the kids doing?
Great.
Firstly, congratulations on Mimi's fabulous wedding.
It was the best. She looked more beautiful than I could have imagined, and it was just perfect. Although it rained all week, we had been looking at the weather forecast in Rome.
Yeah.
The week before, and it said 27, 28 all week. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, grey clouds came out and it rained every day. And we're talking torrential rain.
Even on the wedding itself?
Even on the wedding day. So we're looking on the wedding day and it's saying rain 2:34 PM and then rain 3:45 and the wedding was at 4:30. So you can imagine many tears.
Mm-hmm.
And the electric guys doing the disco and what have you. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. They wanted to know by 7 o'clock in the morning of the wedding if they were still going to be outside.
Yeah.
I said, but I don't know. The weather forecast says rain this afternoon, but it might not rain. What if it doesn't rain? So the music ended up being inside and it did rain, torrential. All the tables had been put outside. They were all taken back in and then they were all brought out while we were having the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the rainbow came out.
They
moved the wedding by an hour.
Okay.
And it was incredible.
Man, you must feel so proud.
So proud. And Kyle he's an Aries. He's just, David and Kyle can finish each other's sentences.
That's perfect.
You can't want more than that.
And they live here in Dubai as well?
They do, just down the road from us.
Oh, that's perfect.
I know. And Max is in London. Mm-hmm. Lots of stag dudes going on at the moment.
How often does he come back?
His friends are dropping like flies. As often as he can.
Yeah.
Probably twice a year. And we try and go back to see him too. Because we miss him.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But David's going to see him in Finland in August.
Nice.
Lucky him.
I want to end off by playing a little game with you.
Oof.
It's still more questions based, but it's a set of questions. We can basically pick a card and then you answer one of them, and then either I answer it as well, or you have me pick a card.
I haven't got my reading glasses on.
I can read it for you. Okay. All you do is the picking. And
what are these cards?
This is called The Meaning of Life. Ooh. Have you heard of something called We're Not Really Strangers?
No.
Ooh, okay. If you like this, I'll see if we can get you one.
Okay.
But just pick a card. If you want, I can read it for you.
Oh, yes. I can't read that.
Whose disapproval do you most fear? And is the fear justified?
David's, for sure. You know, I've always been one of those people who lies in bed and worries about something that I've said.
Samesies.
Samesies.
Samesies, yes.
And I don't need to, but I do. I mean, it can be the silliest thing. It's not even important. And David will say, do you think that person's thinking about that conversation? No, probably not. Well, mm-hmm. Then why are you thinking about it?
Yeah.
But yeah, if he says, you shouldn't have said that, then I know I'm in trouble. So yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I respect him deeply, and he is totally grounding and normal and liked by people. He's a really good guy, so it would have to be David. What about you?
My dad. Without a doubt, my dad.
Wow.
He is, I would say in every way, he's a good guy, but he is incredibly strategic and calculated in everything he does.
Does that mean he doesn't have emotion?
No, he has emotion. But that's a really, really good question. I think he is still very strategic of when he shows emotion. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's a fake emotion, but he knows that when is it relevant or, you know, beneficial or okay to share emotion, and what are the times where it's not serving any goal or it's not moving something forward.
Gosh, imagine being like that. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, it really works well for him, and he loves it, which is why there's, initially I used to try to put some, value to it. I was like, oh, well, I wish you'd express your emotions more and be more open about them. But I realized that that's who he is, and he does well because of it, and he's good at it, and he loves being smart about that. And he doesn't feel like he's suppressing anything. It's just, hey, this emotion is not, maybe I feel it, but this is not the outlet that's the right way to let it out for me and for the people around me. And along with that strategic and calculated mindset around everything he does, there is a wisdom that I always see in him. So whenever he says something or he advises me on something or has an input on something, whether or not I believe it myself consciously, I subconsciously put a heavy weight on it.
Right.
Which at times has held me back. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's made it harder to take a risky move that, it's not that he doesn't approve of it, but he just says, well, you know, maybe you want to take this option instead of this. Yeah. So it's been a process to because I do want the approval, but also as a young man, you have to step out from under your dad's shadow.
Find your own identity. Yeah. Yeah. Quite hard when you have that figure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's especially been an interesting dynamic for me to navigate being closer to home.
Because, and you appreciate it more as you're older, understanding him.
Yes, yes, yes. And I don't know if I've talked much about this, but the last 6-7 months being close to my parents, it's the first amount of time we've spent together as adults. So I've got to see them at their best and their worst, because in the past I was with them until I was 18 and a half, which at that point they were still just parents in my mind.
So do you see them as individuals now?
Yes, very, very much so. And they've also grown in many ways. One beautiful thing is I've made my good share of mistakes along the last 6-7 months, you know, taking risks, putting myself out there. And they've always said, no matter what, we'll support you and we believe in what you're doing. And that has definitely been a major shift in their perspective. So, yeah, I'm appreciative of them. I'm proud of them. And, yeah, it's great to have them around.
Yeah, I'm not really close, and my father isn't around, but I would have liked to have had a relationship. mm-hmm. with my parents like that.
Mom's around?
My mom is, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she was at the wedding.
Okay, great, great. Yeah. Are you close with her?
No, not really. Not really. But, odd relationship, really. Couldn't wait to get away from home when I was 17.
Yeah.
And travelled. Did Australia for a year, the States for a year, sorts of things.
Yeah.
I'm an independent person in that way. So, yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I've seen, I guess I'm not even thinking about like whether it's on the pod or not. Anyways.
Yeah.
But
I think the kids are close. Yeah. I'm really happy that the kids are close to us and we're all very tactile and.
Yeah.
You know, I adore them to bits and I think I show them that mm-hmm. they are adored. And
yeah.
Max sent me flowers when I hit 500,000 on Instagram. I mean, wonder how cute is that?
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Very unexpected. But
yeah,
he just sent me the old message saying, well done, I watched your Insta today. It was great.
Yeah. We go back around to it's the intention that counts, right? Because it tells you that he is... At least once a day, he's checking, oh, what's mom doing? What's the most recent thing she's passionate about that she's put out into the world? Yeah. And that's a learning for me too, is like listening to my mom and seeing, you know, yeah, seeing the things she's...
And your time with her is very precious, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You're a good son and you're going to be a great husband.
Thank you very much.
That's my premonition.
Fingers crossed it comes true. I'm excited.
Good.
Caroline, this has been an absolute pleasure. Podcast or not, like this has been a very insightful and I don't know, a warm conversation for me and I hope it was for you.
Well, you I think are a pretty nice, warm human and it shows. It's been fun. I think we could just keep talking.
Oh, 100%.
We haven't even touched on our exercise routines. That's another story.
Oh man. I mean, we can talk a lot about that, but I mean, the insight that I got from you has already been incredible.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Find us at Instagram, failforward.pod. If you know someone that wants to be on the show, or if you want to be on the show, give us a shout, DM us, and we'll see you soon.